Sometimes we make allowance for things not because they're desirable or because we want to, but because it works a little better for us in some ways at the present moment. It's kind of like when Jesus said, when Peter didn't want to cut the man's ear off and the different things that they wanted to do, he said, things that I cannot now pray unto my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. But he said, if I do that, how can the scriptures be fulfilled? So it's really nothing that we can't understand, not anything. Jesus also said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Not that he didn't want to go to Calvary. For that purpose he came into the world. But he said, as he told the disciples, said, watch with me a little while, I'll go yonder and pray. And each time that he checked with them, he found them hard and fast asleep. He said, couldest thou not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, he said, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the reason that he wanted it to pass was because he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. He wasn't trying to get around death. It was just the moment that was there, such heaviness, such weightiness. And in his prayer, he became even the more fervent till his sweat became as great drops of blood. I come up here to minister to you. And as I said, I'm not much to just come up and tell a Bible story, and I'm not much to be real emotional, even though I've done all those things in my lifetime. I've preached so hard many, many times until I'd wring the sweat out of my shirt, out of my pants, and out of my socks. My shoes would be filled up with perspiration. And that's wonderful, and it excites people, and it really helps the situation at times, you know, when you're out on the field. But that isn't what's going to translate the church. That isn't what's going to rapture the church. That isn't what's going to perfect the church. As I've said so many times, that's wonderful, and it should be. It's an evangelistic side of life. It's to stir up people by the foolishness of preaching. It pleased God that man should be saved. And as I said, it's foolishness to run and jump and holler and scream and tear your throat up and your body up. And as scientists say, it's does more damage to the body in one sermon than 8 hard hours of work does to the body, which I can witness of that. That's absolutely true. On the other hand, that isn't going to help the church. It's to the perfection of the church. It does excite the people, and if the man had been with God, if he's a real man of God, it does cause the rain to come down, and you can feel the refreshing, you know, as to the exuberance and the vibrations as to coming through the inspiration of the Spirit. But when you finish, the thing that we are then wondering about is whether or not we grew any. The Bible said, let the babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they might grow thereby. And the milk of the word, of course, is the spirit and the inspiration to kind of chew up the food or bring in the baby food. The meat is for the strong. We go to the house of the Lord to grow in the grace and in the knowledge. And unless you get the meat of the word, you're not going to be strong. Whereas the Bible said, when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you. This is the beginning of the principles. This is the oracles of Christ. Lord, so let every man speak as the oracle of God. But the meat is for the strong. When you pray to God, you get the spirit of revelation. And you begin to grow up into God. Then you begin to get your eyes open. And you begin to see heavenly things, deep things, mysterious things. God said, ask of me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. Pray in the day of the latter rain, and I will make those beautiful clouds, he said. So this is the day of the latter rain. And said, I've given you the former rain, is that upon the Jews, as to that which was in the veils, to that of Moses. That is to say, the light as to the gospel and that message, whereas the Bible said, and they could not steadfastly look unto the end of that because of the veil. And then the veil was rent at Calvary, and that gives to us the latter rain, which means in the last days or the latter times, And this ring, he said he would pour out upon the just and the unjust. Before, he had to keep Israel separated from the rest of the nations to do things for Israel he could not do for the other nations. But now that Jesus died at Calvary, he died to take away the sins of the world. And that which God had in his foreknowledge as to the Lamb for the prodigal that had been put up all this time, that when the prodigal came home, as through the grace of God, then the fatted calf was killed. As to the ashes of the red heifer, or that is that represented the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish was taken, brought forth in the evening time of life, as to set forth for the great feast of the prodigals that was coming home, like the song wrote. And of course, as it was said through the parabolic speech when Jesus was speaking, when the Gentiles, as to those that he came to seek and to save us, which that was a loss, as I say, Israel as to Jesus, but Christ as to Paul, not him, but Christ living rather, gone to get a bride for Christ and being the overseer of the Gentile church. And so as it was, the son that stayed at home, which Jesus spoke of as concerning the Jew, was very angry and very upset, because the Lord said, and they'll come from the east and they'll come from the west, and they'll sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom, and the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so as it was, the Jews being the children of the kingdom, as to the days of David, the days of Solomon, all of a sudden when Calvary comes, then those that were children of the kingdom were put out of the mind of God, and they went into the dark age. And God cut them off for the sake of the Gentiles and blinded them in part. And they did see, as people came from the east and came from the west, as to the children that came into the kingdom are those that were never God's people. He said, I'll provoke you, as to Israel, to jealousy with a people that's not a people. And as the bride came in, as of all nations, the law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom of God has been preached, men pressed their way into it. In the early apostolic teachings, they went forth preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and receive the kingdom of God, and that the name of Jesus was the door and entrance in through that, by being baptized in his name, are buried in the watery grave, as to be identified with him in death and identified with him in resurrection, as to faith in the blood of the Lamb and the testimony thereof. So they saw them come from the east, they saw them come from the west, and they saw them translated into the marvelous kingdom, for the Bible said, and God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God. And they themselves were cut off and cast out, and have been there at the wailing walls ever since. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And all through the dark age, through the Holocaust, and through all of the terrible turmoils that's come upon the Jews, as to when they said, let his blood be upon us, it has been so all down through the years. Eichmann and others literally slayed and slaughtered them. And they stood by when they themselves were put out of the kingdom. They had asked Jesus, said, will ye at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? And then the Christ within the Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. Or he could have said, I'm Christ. I'll leave this body. As to that that was born among the Jews, as to the head of the Jews, that you will reject and crucify, I leave this as that spiritual one to go out of the tabernacle of this body and search for myself a bride as to the spirit and live in the hearts of the believers until that day. As we say, as Jacob and Esau, and as to say the body and the spirit, and as to say the two wives of Jacob, Leah and Rachel, and that God's love as to God being a spirit has always been for the spirit of man, because he is a spirit and his sons and daughters are spirits. And the ultimatum as to what he will do in this transitional thing called salvation will be to bring them to a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, and a spiritual world that's called the celestial world. But as the egg has to pass through the shell, and you can't have the egg without the shell, and as the nut has to pass through the hull, or whatever it might be, as to an orange has to go through the shell of it, as to the peeling, as we call it, and these kind of things. So it is that life is bred within a human person as to a body. And without that, you can't have life. Without the body, there is no way to form a spirit. So, to personify, then you have to have a mold. And whatever your elements are, whatever your substance is, whether gold or silver, iron, metal, whatever it is, then it has to be melted down. It has to go through the fire. The dross has to be taken out of it. And then, as to the purging, and then the metals or whatever the elements are, they have to be poured into the mold once the dross is burnt out. And they have to stay there until they become molded as to conform as to the shape of the mold, and after that, then it's rent in twain, it's Calvary, and out steps the wonderful personification of God Almighty as an image, or the invisible which you cannot see, which much could be said about as to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And there is a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And with that, we find that that brings us to a mind. And now instead of seeing a body, we see as through the eyes of our understanding a personification of God, who had never before Calvary had a personification, nor was there any image in man's mind as to what God looked like or what God was, and there was nothing as to an image given for him to worship. Boy, he was told he couldn't worship the stars, he couldn't worship the moon, even though people did that. But the object of worship, the word God means object of worship. In the beginning was God, but without a personification. And we say in the beginning was God because we apply the word God as to the beginning, because we being human beings, we don't have any means of understanding or expressing ourselves or communication without some vocabulary expression. And the word God, whether it be translated into one language or another language, it remains the same. As to different in the sound, as to utterance, but the same as to meaning. And as to God, then unless we look beyond the beginning, we have to accept the word God as to be the image, Jesus being the express image of the Father, as to say the given image and the very likeness of his heavenly Father. Or to say that the image was lost that God had made man in, had come back through the second man Adam, and now was back again as to the covering of his glory, and not that of skin that he put on man when man fell from the garden. And the Lord had come to restore. And of course that image was as to take the body of Jesus to Calvary, as to the first man Adam, made in the image of sin, delivered for our offenses, that is to say to kill me on the cross, the sinful body. And then as to the resurrection, after the purification of going down into the heart of the earth, as to purge all things by fire, going through hell to burn out the chaff and leaving behind the corruption. And then coming up on the other side as to the third day, resurrected, having been delivered from my offenses, then he was raised again for my justification. Or that is to say, when he was raised up, that was me that came up out of the grave. And he had took my place in death that I might take his place in life and resurrection. And it would take a long, long time to just deal with that part of it. These things that we're speaking of as to the Jews being cut off, as to the Gentiles coming in, as to the spiritual wonderfulness, as to this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels, and so much that we could say, because great is the mystery of God, and would take hundreds of thousands of things as to detail this wonderful mystery. And as Paul said, there was made known unto me this wonderful revelation as to the mysteries of God. And he said, when I write this, that as you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ, which was hid from other ages and was not given unto mankind, but as in this last day has been revealed as to his holy apostles and prophets, that the church might be edified, as to bring them into this wonderful transitional change into the perfect man, Christ Jesus. That it be not them living, but that wonderful body of God that's without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. And in condensing these things, trying to say them in kind of a compact way, it means that it's very difficult, very difficult. Reading from the book of St. John, the first epistle of John, chapter 2. Now, if you don't get the meat, you won't be strong. If you get the revelation, the understanding of God, then every devil that comes along can't push you around. And you'll become anchored on the rock. And you won't be blown about by every wind of doctrine. But if you are a babe, then you'll go through all of these things as to problems. Because little babes always having problems and getting hurt unless the parents watch after them. They get killed, they're ravished, they're stolen away. And all these things happen. A lot of people you see fall. It's because no one watched after them. No one looked after them. No one loved them. The mothers of the church didn't watch after them. Or the mother who is the church as to mothers in Israel. And the people did not watch after them as to the fathers in Israel. Whereas Paul said, I've begotten you a father. For you have 10,000 instructors. You have but one father in the gospel. I've begotten you as a father. Because of this, we're in the time of what the Bible speaks of as the great falling away. And at that time, multitudes in the valley of decision. And in the day of the valley of decision, the Lord is near. And this is the young age, as to the young generation, which is a sinful generation, an adulterous generation, a rebellious generation. Their minds are polluted. Television, of non-virtuous things, Hollywood, rock and roll, as to the old evil world of devils and demons as personifying themselves in rock music, and they're spicing it up with religious words as to the deception. And through these things, devils and demons are projecting themselves into human bodies. See, the one thing you have to remember of a devil, he is a spirit. And he is wandering through dry places as to being cut off, and that God has rejected him. And if we had all night long, we'd probably explain some of that anyway. He's wandering around. You don't see him because you don't have spiritual eyes to see. Neither do you see the other angels that are not demons. Demons are fallen angels. You don't see the other angels either that's all around, whereas God has given them charge concerning you. And as they come to minister to Jesus, as they appeared to the shepherds on the hillside. But they're also there. Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. Sometimes an angel will take on a form and you communicate with him. And as the angels of the church ages, it was sent from God to be in the church ages and were not recognized as through the church ages. So then, in the last days, I will send forth my angels, he said, as to the parabolic speech, and they will gather my elect from the four winds of the earth, as to the doctrinal things that we brought out as to what these doctrines are. And then, as they come, they'll cut down the harvest, good and bad. It was said, and the harvest is ripe, thrust in the sickle. And he thrust in the sickle, and the harvest was reaped. Then there came forth another that had power over fire, and he said, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the harvest is ripe. So he thrust in his sickle, and as he reaped, the Bible said he cut down the vine, as we say, the old vine, or this went through the grapevine, as we say. He cut down the vine. He done away with humanity, and the Bible said, now gather it into the valley to where the battle will be fought, that valley of blood, where the blood will run to the horse's bridle. And the cutting down of that vine means the end of the kingdoms of the world, that those unclean spirits like frogs that went out of the mouth of the Trinity, evil Trinity, that went into all the world working miracles together, all of the kings of the earth together, by these signs and wonders, and that a sinful, adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And lying signs and wonders, to gather them all together in one great unit, as one great unit of a charismatic order of religious activities. All denominations will go into it. We said the Pope would bid it Godspeed and bless it, and that with all of that, as to the Trinitarian thing, not having their understanding open, all of them would be gathered together in this Catholic move as to the Roman powers of the early church. And then in that, when they were all gathered together, that they would then be brought against Israel as a boycott. That's the way that they'll be gathered together against Israel. And a religious thing is the Antichrist. And then the vine is cut down, and the blood runs to the horse's bridle. So we're living right there at that time. We've been trying to bring out some things that we've not been able to bring out because we just don't have everything to where we can. A little thing that's happening here in Walton County right now is pertaining to Brethren David, Paul, and Messiah, the Bethlehemites. It's a very outstanding thing. And it's shaping up exactly the way that we said that it would. So far, it has come in line the way that we said it would. And the purchase in Israel has come in line. And with this, it is the moment of the unveiling of God's masterpiece. And with that is to a headship that will rebound around the world. I don't want to say those things, you know, the questions roll through the mind. Can it be? Could it be? Is that possible? Brother Pike's talking mind. No, he's in hope. No, that's not right at all. It is right, true, that I would love to get the gospel out to every creature around the world and all these wonderful things. But folks, it's not a thought. It's not an idea. It's not a hope. I'm telling you what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen. That's what we're here for, is to bear witness of the truth. So it's not perhaps it won't happen. It's not maybe it might be manipulated and something will happen. It'll cripple it. It'll be exactly 100%, just like I told you. And as Thomas, he'll believe when he sees. And of course, otherwise, he'll scrutinize and doubt until the seeing. And then when he sees, he'll say, well, praise God, it really happened, like he said. But then, of course, that's too late because the Bible said, we're they that believe to see. We don't wait as a sinful generation to see to believe. All right, let's read chapter 2, John. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. All that is to say what John is saying here. The darkness is past, that the veil that hid the light as to Moses' face and now rent at Calvary, the prophet likened to Moses. And now the day star has dawned within your heart, or the true light is now shining. Even the light, the Bible said, and this light is spring up unto them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death. For in the evening time it shall come to pass, there shall be light. And the Bible said that this light that shined in the midst of them, and the darkness could not comprehend it, but it was said unto you and I that we should comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length, and then believe and be translated by this divine comprehension of this mind of God that he hath brought, because it takes light to translate. It takes light to translate. What is the need of this light? I wish we had time to talk on that light. Anyway, in the third chapter, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. See, not going to be. It's not a future event. Now are we the sons of God. Now the question I would ask, to see how many of us have faith in the word, calling those things that are not as though they are. That is to say, not looking at those things that are seen, but those things that are not seen, is to testify to the fact of this confirmation as the world that spoke the world into existence, because he said it, I believe it, that makes it so. All right, so what did he say? Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? Do we have any sons of God? Okay, we have some believers. All right, because of that faith, then are you the sons of God? He said, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. See, have you had the world at any time to say, good morning, son of God? Or did you happen to come by and bow and say, oh, my master, don't destroy me? No. You know why? Because they didn't know him when he was here. And they didn't bow to him. They crucified him. But them that did know, even the devils, they came and bowed down at his feet, saying, thou art the Son of God. And he said, hold your peace. Don't make me known. Because he was trying to work among the people. And the more they saw that divine power and that divine deliverance and that divine understanding, they said, where does this man get this wisdom from? And he knew that, as when he told a man, he healed him, he said, now don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. He knew that if they told people that they'd flock in by the thousands and throng him, and he couldn't preach, he couldn't expound the gospel, he couldn't be among them, he'd be driven in the desert outside. And into the desert. But they proclaimed it the more. They screamed it out. They still said it. And finally he was without and couldn't even get into the city. But it says here, the world don't know you, but someday they will. You'll outshine the brightness of the noonday. And the Bible says that in that day, I will make them to come and kneel at your feet, God within his temple, glorifying God within you, praising you for your good work. And they will come and kneel at your feet, knowing that I have loved you. And as God suddenly appears within his temple, or God within his bodily members, as to the great God of the many-membered body. Then it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. That is, you can't see it in each other, but you're not to know each other after the flesh. The flesh is dead. The flesh is buried. That is gone. And now we are no more living souls. We are quickening spirits, having passed from death into life. And he says, as to the appearance, they don't see it. Does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Faith, hope, and charity. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. This hope means Christ within you, the Word Spirit. Christ within you, the hope of that glory. As to the sons of God. Him that the Bible said he alone was made heir to the glory. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. That is, believes in this thing. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Okay, now listen real close. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, someone would say, well, I try not to commit sin. It didn't say that whosoever was born of God tried not to commit sin. That's like people that try to believe, trying to believe God, even ever so hard to try to believe God, is not faith. It can never be faith. Trying to believe God hath nothing to do with faith. Faith is simply accepting what the Word said as to a confidence. You believe the Word. The mere fact that you're trying proves that you're not believing. And when you are believing, you're not trying. You're just believing. So then, faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. And when the Word says something, you believe it, that's faith. By his stripes you were healed, that's faith. God hath given us all things that pertain unto life. You say, I believe that. You really believe it, that's faith. Whatever it is, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he hath no sorrow. You say, I believe that. That's faith. Says the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. You say, I believe that. You really believe that from your heart. That's faith. All right. So then this is a faith, spirit, word, life, which I could not begin to tell you tonight, because if you could see what I see, and if you could walk where I've walked, your excitement would be so that it would be blowing the top off, the lid would just be blown off of you. And you could never be calm again in your entire life as to your inner man, as the spiritual jubilance and the joy and the ecstasy that is joy unspeakable and filled full with glory. All right, I just want to comment here just a minute or two now, and I want you to listen real close. The thing that he said here was, little children, don't be sinning. He said, but if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. He's the righteous one, he says. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Now listen, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. For Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. Right now, there is no sin to anybody in the entire world as to what God sees. Because God cannot look on iniquity. He cannot see iniquity. Folks, that's why the devil harasses your mind and jumps on you and says, God, look at God letting this little baby die. Look at God letting this precious mother die. This precious father being killed in a wreck. Look at God doing all these things. God doing all these things. God doesn't do those things. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. What it is, God doesn't even see those things. Someone would say, well, what do you mean? I mean that one day he will look. And when he looks through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ and sees those things, you know how long he will let them people live? He said, I'm angry with the wicked every day, and I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. And the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and brimstone came. The very day that the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, and God can't look down at his people to see through the blood his wonderful creation. And all of a sudden it'll become black as night as to come up before God. As it was when Jesus cried out and said, my God, that'll be the world. That'll be the world, but he isn't their God. Jesus had become our sins. And he said, how can you call me Lord, Lord, when you do not the things I say? Am I your Lord? Wouldn't you honor your Lord? Even as Sarah said to Abraham, my Lord, wives honor your Lord. So obey him in all things. Whose daughters ye are, if you do well, without any amazement. As to the church, as to the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? So then, them people will say, God, did not we stand in your presence? Didn't we prophesy in your streets? Lord, haven't we done many mighty works? Don't you know? You're our God. We're the religious people of the world. We're your people. But see, the darkness will be there. The Lord will gather his wheat into the garners. He'll push all the rest of it off into the fire. All of it will be gone. The Bible said, burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. For after that you've come to the knowledge of the truth, the Bible said, once you come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more Calvary for you. No more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour the adversary. So he says here, little children, I don't want you sinning. I don't want you sinning. But if you do sin, when you say sin, you do just like everybody else. It's sad to say, sometimes it looks like you do worse. You do things you ought not to do, and you know you do it, and you think things you ought not to think. And somebody said, well, I'm so holy, Brother Pike, you just ought to look into my mind. I'd sure hate to, because except for the Holy Spirit, I'd see a garbage can. For the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. All of them has gone astray. Every man has turned to his own way. Every man has looked to his own quarter for his own gain. They've left the widows, the orphans, and all these other things, whereas they're supposed to share with them. Who are we? What are we? Where are we? What are we doing? How far down the trail are we? Which direction are we headed? What are you doing? If I looked inside the Bible, this is what I would see. The Bible said God looked down and saw that the very thoughts, intents of man's heart was continually evil. And there wasn't any of them good. Not any of them. So he said, I'll just destroy man whom I've made. I'll just get rid of all of them. And I repent that I ever made a man, because there's nothing but problems. None of them's any good. But as it was said, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Someone would say, God found the good one, Noah. No, it didn't say nothing about Noah being good. As a matter of fact, he was drunk just as quick as the ark, landed and he got out of it. None good, it said. No, not one. It didn't say that God found a righteous man. It said Noah found grace. Somehow God, pitying humanity, picked up a man of integrity to that extent as to what ability he had, and he gave him grace as symbolic of Jesus. Noah's family didn't find grace in the eyes of God, but it was Noah. This was what God required for man to be saved, and there was no way that man could perform it. It was utterly impossible for man to perform it. Paul said as concerning this, he said, and that which was ordained unto life, speaking of the law, he said, I found to be unto death. And I was alive one time, speaking as a Jew, until the law came. Said, when the law came, sin revived and I died. And that which was ordained unto life, I found to be unto death. He said, for the law taking occasion, or sin taking occasion by, it slew me. All that is to say, God, who measured himself, put it out as the laws of do's and don'ts, and said, this is as such, this is what I am, and to relate to me, this is what you've got to do. Sending it to us, it was to reveal the impurities of our life and to let us know how far short we was of coming into the realms of this light of eternal life. All right, so this law came, God wanting to help us. So God sent the law. Paul said, I was alive without the law because I didn't have no knowledge of my wrongs. I didn't know that I was dirty and filthy and that there was no good thing within my flesh. I didn't know that my thoughts were continually evil. I didn't understand nothing about evil. Eve, Adam, don't eat of that tree. That's a tree of knowledge. It's a tree to know. And when you come to know, then it's required of you. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is a sin. And no one can perform good because God alone is good. I've already given you the tree of life, which is good. Then we realize that the law, which is spiritual, it was not a killer. It is spiritual. But we are carnal and we're sold unto sin. For that which we do, we don't allow for that as to the inner man because we don't want to do that. As to our stumblings, our staggerings, the creature being made subject or being subjected to vanity, all is vanity, vanity, Solomon said. As to the human senses relating to it, because we live from the earth, we're of the dust as of the first birth. And as to that which Adam and Eve did, they separated themselves from the Shekinah of that light of the covering of eternal life. And the beast part enticed the mouth under that, just as it's doing today, is to your human form and leaving you without that covering. Right now there's a covering. Jesus restored it even to all people. That there is the covering as to the illumination and its grace. But man must be born again because that covering will be lifted. There will be an expulsion from the garden in that the world is a garden at this time with the blessings of God. As the rain on the just and the unjust, as to medical aid for pain and relief from misery, and the second heaven. In these things, there's to be an expulsion. Revelation 12 records it. And the stars are to fall from heaven, Lucifer's to be cast out. This park job they had up there, as to the man, the name Lucius or whatever it was, something similar to this. It all had to do with it. We spoke of that, and of course they fired him. In that this is speaking of the law extends to Calvary. The Bible said, "The law shall not pass away till every jot and tittle be fulfilled." I tell you again, Jesus came and fulfilled it. Everything God ever gave Moses and the people, they failed. They failed. Though Moses was faithful in all of his houses to his effort. But they failed to bring salvation. And blood of bulls and goats could never make the comer thereunto perfect, because it could not take away the consciousness of sin. The conscience of sin. Even the high priest couldn't do it. And today, every person in the world today, except those, not just as to the believer, but those that have the Holy Spirit on the inside, everyone in the world today is still conscious of sin. Their very consciousness of life is infiltrated with that feeling of condemnation and of wrong and not doing right and their misdemeanors of life and their shortcomings and their failure to go on with God and conform to the wonderful things of God. The conscience of sin. But in Christ, there is no consciousness of sin. In the world today, in the world you'll have trouble, but in me you'll have peace. For all the ways of God are peace. Prince of Peace is interwoven with your spirit as the great Holy Spirit. See, and it's sealed where the evil one can never touch you as to the inner man. This is why we say what we do about demons. We ourselves are, as to the dictionary, a human person. And that means that we have a personality. We have our own way of doing things, our own desire. We are individuals. We are, as to individuality, we have desires. We hear, we think, we smell, we taste, we feel. Relative to this world, as to the subjection of the outer man, as to the creature, to the world. Subjecting him in hope, as to the hope of glory, as to the change. Christ, the hope of that glory. So with this, as to the mystery, we are subject to the vanities of the world. We're subjected as to the outer man, as to the creature. But as to the inner man, we are a personality. And this spirit does have a body. And this spirit, as to your spirit and my spirit, the only way that it has as to existence, as to the tangible sources of matter, is through human taste, touch, smell, hearing, and whatever, that inter-angelic spirit of yours. The inter-man, as it's called. He has his administration of life through the human senses. And all of these things that emanated from God from the foundation of the world, all of these things was created for you, given to you because you relate to those things. All of those things, you forfeited your right to them through Adam. And the second man, Adam, came, killed out the infiltration of that body as to the feminine, which the woman represents, and brought back the masculine as to the inter-spirit that rules over the body, or should rule over the body, as with Christ within you, as to the man, the rule over the woman. Before the fall, the woman was equal to the man. But when the body was shown as the weakness, the infiltration came, they fell to the beast level. And as I said the other night, being born in a stable, Jesus came to the beast level. And from the manger to the transfiguration, not the manger to the cross, as you say. It's not from the manger to the cross. It's from the manger to the transfiguration, and thus the diplomacy. And of course, I know that you probably wouldn't understand that, but nevertheless, that's another message that we hope to get into as to transology. In this, we realize then that the law was given for a good thing. I go, as you would say, to the hospital. I find a physician, and I hate to even think on this and mention it because of the dirty, filthy corruption and all of that where everybody's defiled because of the hospital. But nevertheless, to give the illustrations, I have to go through this thing. You know, a lot of times on your way home, you have to walk through the hog pen. It's bad, and I try to walk around it as much as I can. But anyway, as to the hospital, it's good. As to the understanding of medicine, it's good. As to the understanding of the knowledge
of human physics as to the world of chemistry, it is good. Because God made all things good. And all they've done is just break it down to understand it. But as to the mind of corruption that's called doctors and nurses and everything else, even in the world today, the thoughts are continually evil. It's rotten. It stinks in the sight of God. And I have to watch to keep from getting too harsh about it, to tell it like it is. All flesh has corrupted their way before God, as to the medical world, as to the military world, as to the sports world, as to these different things that we speak of, as to the educational system. And when you go back to an illustration, you see then if a physician, as who is the physician? The great ministry of God, that's the true physicians. Heal thyself, physician, they said. You've healed others, but they didn't realize he was dying so that they could have opportunity. All right, then I say this, that going to a physician, a true physician, he diagnoses your case, he tells you what the problem is, and then he gives you a remedy. You go by that, or whatever is necessary, soon you are healthy and whole in your human chemistry and your human physics, and you're happy and gay, and the word gay pure, as to, well, before the perverted mind of the devil come and contaminated the word. All right, so you're happy. And you are gay as to the joyfulness of God in your heart, as the way the word was used just a few years ago. All right, now, not gay in the perversion of being as a gay to the world, as a human being infiltrated with a devil of filth and perversion, but as to joy unspeakable and full of glory in Christ. So, when this comes, the man is happy. He's diagnosed the case. He found out what's wrong. And he's done an exploratory. And I don't mean the pigs in the pen that exposes women and goes through all this mess. God have mercy on their soul. But as to what it is, that's for the virtue and righteousness of God. Whereas if anything have any righteousness in them, think on these. I'm just preaching a little as I go. So then, we're not here to condemn the world, but to condemn sin in the flesh. For it is through Christ that the world must be saved. That by faith of the hearing of the word. But to run through the filter and leave all of the infiltration out. As to kill the body because of sin, the body is dead. To bury it, to do away with it by the act of Calvary, delivered for offenses, buried. It is no more. And to bring again the resurrection, as to raise for justification, as the body of Christ living in not me, but him. And the life I now live, I live as the inner man by the Spirit of God. All right. So then we understand that when the physician has done this, he's our friend. He's trying to help us. Now comes the diagnosis as to what the law would be like. But fear comes in, taking occasion by what we have learned through the physician as to his understanding, as to his supremacy, as over human anatomy. Then all of a sudden we learn this and fear grips us. Cancer, TB, heart trouble, oh my God, cancer throughout the body. But the physician is trying to say, take courage. The nurses are saying, take courage. Don't despair. All he did was an exploratory, and he's just trying to tell you that this is there. But we can handle it. We've got a remedy. Oh, my God, I'll die. I know I'll die. I'll die. I'll die. And sure enough, they die. So occasion, you know, fear taking occasion. It was said one time by a great man years ago that the greatest thing that the world has to fear is fear itself. Jesus said, fear not. So then in this, you see what I'm telling you. The law comes, and God has said, don't be afraid. Oh, but my God, I'm dead. I'm dead, Paul said. I can't handle it. I can't handle that. All right. So then the law, as to being spirit, came. When we could not do it, as to death, all of them died, as to the Jews, in our behalf, as to Calvary. Because Paul said the letter killeth them. They were under the law. He said, you have the law and none of you keep it. So Paul, being blameless concerning the law as to what he understood, you know, as to those things, he was chosen as to show Christ in the earth. So here comes Jesus. Paul learned as Moses in all the ways of the Egyptians. Long, we could say there. But anyway, here comes Jesus. This is God in human flesh. The second man, Adam, now. The Shekinah image that was lost through the transfiguration as to perversion in the fall, in the expulsion, all of a sudden the image in which man was made as to the image of God and his likeness is gone. It's gone. Woman that is taken out of man as to his glory has to portray the beauty of the man as the woman's appearance and has to reproduce his image, has to be his companion. Now she's a devil. She has given herself to the devil. She has taken on another mind. And now she is no more bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh as to the infiltration. But as to that spirit life that's entered into her, and of course we're speaking as to that of the present day, because Eve, not knowing, was kept in ignorance as a little child, knew nothing, being enticed, it was not charged against her to this extent that the worm never got into the coat, never got in as to Satan into her spirit. Thus she was protected as Israel. Israel never came to the place as conception of understanding. And Paul said, great is the wisdom of God, keeping them in ignorance, blinding them in part, so they wouldn't understand, as the blindness of the eyes of their understanding, that they might not understand until the fullness of the Gentiles, being the scapegoat, giving us mercy as by grace, through the crucifixion of Jesus, as to the head born among the Jews and the membership of his body, which was the Jews that went out of his presence, are saying, let his blood be upon us in our ignorance. So with this, the law through Jesus was fulfilled, every jot and tittle. When all of the ritualists was laid down, then come the finishing touch as to the capstone of the pyramid of that of which God had said, as to the ritualistics, as to the Jews, what profit is there in being a Jew? Much in every way, chiefly in every way, because unto them was committed the oracles of God, Paul said. So we being the spiritual Jew, they being the body as to the Jew, as to them being Leah and Jacob wanting Rachel, and his labor as to the crucifixion, as to the travail, as to the ministry, and it was as to the spirit, but could not get that, as the Embalmer says, without the shale. As to the Jew, and out of the Jew comes salvation, for salvation is of the Jew. And we could tell you a lot of things tonight as to these things, as to that is to the male, and then as that is to the conception of the woman's world of America, as to bringing in this woman, as to her beauty, as to her sparkle, as to her glitter, and leaving the man rough and rugged over in the old country in the primitive way of life, but the seed carried. And that is to the vagina, as to the conception, as to the sealing, as to travailing till Christ be formed within you, as to the spiritual Christ coming forth, and at the breaking forth of this image, as to the change, Thessalonians change, all of a sudden the Jew comes back in, because the days of the Gentiles is over. When the child is born, God does not give grace anymore to the world, because the grace is for the woman. And once the child is born, then just like that, that means that the image of the church is changed, which is the child, and up it goes. The woman, therefore, as to the world, goes into the wilderness. Someone said it's the woman's world. And then, all of a sudden, as to the feminine part, that shows that it's not masculine as to the flesh, but that which is spiritual, masculine, the child, it goes up. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, membership as to whatever. When the head returns, up it goes, as to Christ, as to you. The spiritual Jew, the true Jew, the true house of Israel. And then all of a sudden, the Jew comes into view because he is represented by the body. As the Jew went out to deadness that the spiritual world might come in from the 483 to the 7, the door open in heaven. All of a sudden, the Jew comes back in now. And the Gentile door closes as to that door John saw open in heaven. It goes to the gates are now closed, as to the bowels of compassion no more. The light lifts. Everything goes into darkness. But the Jew in the twilight has the reflection as to the bodily part, as to the birth. When this is birthed forth, as to the image of this light, of this knowledge, as to your change, it means the Jew comes back. For now the body of redemption is here, as to the image that was lost at Calvary when they went out, when they rejected the head. So the head comes back as the nails in his hands. as the Christ came back. For the enter man, so come Jesus for the Jews. All right, anyway, we just take a long time to elaborate here on this. But it means at Calvary, the mold was open, out stepped the personification of Almighty God. Now it's the mind. Let this mind be in you, it was on Christ Jesus. When I say these things so sporadically, in part, you know, don't have time to time together, it's like a big puzzle, and all I do is just put a little framework to where you can kind of get a vague idea of what it is and search for the pieces as the Spirit of Almighty God brings to you all things whatsoever He's taught you, and you put them all together to form the beautiful picture as to what the puzzle is. Cut all the pieces of the picture, scattered all over the world, and every individualist, the member of the body of Christ, going looking for it, putting it back together. So in this we see that the law was fulfilled at Calvary, and then they that were cut off, as the letter killeth, as to the Jews, then came the Spirit, as to them coming from the east and the west. So Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle, capstoned it, and then that cornerstone came as to the pyramid city, and it was crying, grace, 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 and the great light of the knowledge of God hit that prism as to that capstone, and the light refracted, and over the church ages, as to the gap of the 483 to the 7, the church ages, went the 7 beautiful colors of the attributes of God, as to the 7 messengers that proportionally would minister to us down through the years, that the generations might comprehend this great, wonderful thing that was given to us in the mind of God before the world ever was, and brought to light at Calvary to the rent veil, and preached down through the church ages, that we might at the end of it comprehend the heights, depth, and width, even at to the end when the door was open, as to John, the rapture, the translation of the church, or that is to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length, as to a 7-fold light, or that is to say all that had been taught down through the church ages, to compound it in the end time, as to say what this physician studied 10 years ago, or this man studied 10 years ago, and the studies and the schools and the books, as to the natural transition from the east over to the west of the civilization, to bring us down, spiritually speaking, from here, the child being born, caught back up as to the spiritual historical stride, as to recorded by the spiritual world, as to biblical terminology, going back as the child is caught up into the mother's arms, and many, many, many things that we have to say. Many things. So we see then Christ, who lived in the human body of Jesus, stepped out of the human body, took away the infiltration of the woman, which was the flesh, let it go down into the grave as to dead, when the life left it, as the spirit away from the body being dead, down into hell to purge it, burned out the infiltration as the dross that's in the gold, allegorically speaking, that shows it, bringing it forth, our faith, as pure gold tried in a fire or in the furnace, coming up in the resurrection over here as the beautiful bride of Christ, of whose body ye are. As to the body, to the spirit, it is the bride. And so the great Spirit of Christ is married unto it, and it has come into our heart, and now this that is in our heart is the same Christ that was in the body of Jesus, that fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law in there. And then this Christ, as to the righteousness of that that he did, moved into you, and today he's in you, and every bit of the law is fulfilled as to the righteousness of it, in that he done the works himself, and he is the life on the inside of your body. So now you're divorced, Paul said, as from the old, the first man Adam, as to the devil image, where Satan infiltrated us to the weakness of the woman to show it in the flesh, and that has been smitten and delivered for offenses, my offenses. I become his righteousness, and he become my righteousness, in that today it is not I living, but him, and my faith in his righteousness, because Christ is the righteousness of Jesus. It is the life of Jesus. And now that spirit is in this body because it was made for that in the beginning. This image was made for that, and that image that was lost through the disfiguration, as to the fall of the expulsion, as to the transfiguration of the loss of the illumination with which they were covered, as in the image and expression, has now come back. And now that it has come back, it has come in the form of the second man Adam, even the resurrected one. And as to the resurrected ones, so ye are as members in particular. And Christ inside is your righteousness, and your sins are gone forever. And in your conscience, there is no more consciousness of sin. You are dead to the flesh, it's not even conscious in the sight of God. It hath no life, so there can be no conscience of sin. Paul's saying, I strive always to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and God. Where these things are, the Bible said there's no more conscience of sin. You're dead to sin. So it's very obvious that in what we're saying, being divorced from the old, now your spirit has left that body and it is married under the Christ spirit, which is within the new body, even the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now are ye the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the image as to the new body, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as to from the manger into the transfiguration of glory, to show you and to show me that we're no longer beast. We're no longer in that realm we fell to. The covering is not that where he said you cover with the covering, but not of me as to the skins that he put on them. He smote that at Calvary. He released that inner man. And now it is in his covering as to the image that was before the foundation of the world, even the image when he said, to that image, as to Jesus, come and let us make man. As to the Spirit said, and this is the bodily image of Almighty God, even the object of worship, or that will come forth, come, let us make man in this bodily image of Jesus Christ, the express image of God, or the given image at the right time. So it's very obvious that it's from the manger to the diplomacy of glory by hope of Christ, and that as to him finishing a diplomacy, his schooling for you, that from this manger into glory he was saying, and Brother Taylor, born to the manger, as to the first man Adam, here and now I have taken all that away. You are now born into the next world, into the heavenly world, and you're now in heaven, and your sins are gone. Like somebody saw the other night, a shell where I took the shell off for Brother Taylor and freed Brother Taylor. Now, see, and somebody else walked right up and just dropped the shell on him. Then bombers to the body of the shell. But I'm saying that to say this, that when he come from the manger all the way into glory, he was saying, now back to paradise, back to the garden. It's all over now. It's all finished. You don't have to worry about it. I'm going to let my mind come into you. That is God's spirit. It's going to reveal itself to you from thought to thought, from revelation to revelation, from glory to glory, until finally you're going to grow up into manhood as to Christ form within you, as to the transformation of your mind, and you'll be full grown in the full measure of the full stature of Christ Jesus. And if you can accept this perfection as not to hinder it, to dwarf it, then everyone that be perfect shall be equal to his master. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, as to his bride, or as to his children. Depending on what you allow as to a conformity, as to a surrender, as to a submission. Now, what I'm saying is this, is that he did not intend for you to die. The body was not made to die. God did not want it to die. Death is God's enemy. When he put Adam and Eve in the garden, he did not have any plans for it to die, though he knew it all would happen, because all of his works is known unto him from the beginning, and so before the world ever was. He provided an atonement, an escape. But his grief as to repent of the fact he made man. See, he did not want them to, but what he did want was someone that would be his equality as his family, not a bunch of robots. So to do that, he had to put in the garden the tree of knowledge and the tree of life to give them a sovereignty to where they could choose. And he subjected them to that in hope. And the hope was that they would shun the tree of knowledge when he warned them against it and partake of the tree of life and live forever. And they would have never known anything but good and never gone through this wilderness wandering. That's why that when they come out of Egypt, they could have went straight into Canaan. Because when God first created them, they could have went straight into glory by not going by the way of the intellectual wilderness wandering of this whole world and all these things to try to figure out where the door is. So in this, they failed. They went into their wandering. Sin by one man, life by one man. But they could have just went to the tree of knowledge. But God said when Satan got into him, now, lest man put forth his hand, partake of the tree of life, live forever, it stopped. That is, get him out of here. Because now Satan, who has been made the ruler of the darkness, him that the Bible said when God came, there was darkness upon the face of the deep. Satan had been made the ruler of it. God had been merciful to him, not destroyed him. But when this light came and this beautiful garden came and this creation came, that was the mercy of God to man. And Lucifer saw that and he thought, now if I can get into man, if I can get my devils and demons into man, these fallen angels, creatures of darkness, into man, we will be back into the world of light. Hold this thing in bondage is to blackmail God because of the children in their ignorance. Adam, Eve, ye shall not surely die, but ye shall become as God. To know, because he knew he was a God and he knew. But he was also in darkness because he knew. Because he had rejected the right thing, trying to make himself equal to God. And the Bible said that before that time, as to Adam showing that, all of his pipes were made up right. He was there. He was beautiful. The Bible said, and he was the most beautiful tree in the garden. But he lifted himself up in pride. See, saying, I'll be equal with God. His brow came up above the others as to what he thought he would be. That he would take the host. And as it was. But nevertheless, going on here to try to close in just a few minutes, just getting a few little thoughts tonight. So, he entered into man through the weakness of the flesh as to the woman. Then he thought, now. See, not into Adam. Adam was the son of God with the illumination. Then he thought, now, if I can get into man, man has right to the tree of life. And then if I can get to the tree of life, I'll have this creation forever and ever. There'll never be an end of it. But God was too wise for that, and he stopped it like that. And out went Adam as to being made sin when the man was not in the transgression as to Jesus, showing that allegorically that he might come into the world in our image to save us and to go through the thorns as to the thorns that's in the natural, the briars, you see them, as to the thorns that's in the physical, as to sicknesses, you see it, as to thorns that are in the spiritual world, as to demon oppression and the pricks in our side, as those thoughts of ugliness that tries to destroy us. You see it as to a natural, physical, spiritual bride, as to a type of a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, as to the good. It has to be that way, and it takes a long time to explain all of that. But anyway, so we see that the body does not have to die. It is not inferior. There's nothing about the body that wears out. Scientists don't know what they're talking about. If it does wear out, why didn't Noah wear out? 900 years of living. Why didn't Methuselah wear out? See, why is it that you wear out at 60 or 70 years old? It's not that, folks. It's a decree that God has set as to sin. And at the beginning, 120 years, as he said it. And so it was that they lived. And so did Moses, because he was faithful in all of his house. Even coming to the generations where it had been shorter, when he said, and 70 it shall be, as the 70, because more knowledge came and more was required of man, he still didn't perform it. As in the day, it's the same way. And now they're dying from the cradle. They're getting killed in cars everywhere because they've shortened their days. Knowing more required of them, not doing it, everything has gone berserk. But folks, God didn't make the body to die. He did not make the body to wear out. The body is the temple of the Lord. Can you picture God making himself a temple that would wear out, or making himself a temple that would grow frail and die? That's why Jesus went down to the heart of the earth. Death had no power over him. Corruption had no power over him. And today he has destroyed that as to the works of the devil. And he has destroyed him, even the devil, that hath power over death. And he hath come into your heart, saying, I'm greater than he that's in the world. And you pass from death unto life, and ye shall never come into condemnation. And there's no condemnation to you. And you cannot sin. You are born of God. You're eternal and ever. You know, and you got to believe this. And let's just say this in closing. See, as to these demons, fallen angels, they're looking as they did in that day toward humanity. They have got to get into those things or they can't have this beautiful garden. They are not relative to these things. They got to have a body to go through these passions. See your passions as to that which means relation as to one another, as to male and female, as to reproduce was a beautiful thing given from God. All of that was beautiful. As to your understanding, as to your eating, as to your drinking, as to having all these natural things, the carnal things of life, it was given to you. It was for you. But the carnal mind, which is death, was not given unto you. As to the devil that loves all these things, it wants to get into you to where he can use this body and project his personality and hear the beautiful music and see the beautiful lights and feel the good things and have the appetite of the smell, the taste, and all these kind of things. As to the thrill and inspiration of living again out of the dark places. See, and where the problem is not that these things are wrong to you, but when the laws of God are violated as to these laws that have been set for your benefit. As to say, don't take the curve at 50. It's been proven at 35 miles is as fast as you can go. And if you violate the law, you'll get killed. We're not out here to put you in jail. Even though, as I said, the law's infiltrated today. It's got to go through the purging, go back to the Jew from where it came. And we're on the verge of that even here in the... this thing that's happened here in Monroe. Wish we could detail all that as to show it folded up and laid away. Sin taking occasion as to the way they boycotted against us. The law is no good. Lest it be seasoned with the element of grace, the life of the innocent. They've done away with that. They boycotted it. Devil has taken it and whatever. But anyway, this is what I'm saying. Is that God wants you to live forever. Death is your enemy. And I give you all power over the powers of any, which is the Spirit of Christ, which conquered all that for you, the Holy Ghost. See, you don't have to fear. You shouldn't be afraid of devils. Devils are afraid of you. Now, I know that sounds like a far-fetched thing. You know, but we've said this many times. Devils are afraid of you unless you are afraid of them. See, because you are angelic masters. Your spirit is the master of all spirits because you have the Holy Spirit. And it's not you living, but it's Him. And your spirit is interwoven with Christ's spirit. And they're not giants to you as to their understanding and power and dominion. You are a giant to them, much greater as to the third heaven. Otherwise, they are a giant to you as from first heaven because they rule in second heaven. But you excel as the child caught up to the throne is greater than them because you are from the throne and you are in the third heaven. You are a heaven higher as to being taller than them, as we would say in the natural. I'm simply saying, trying to close, that with this, your body is an eternal gift to you. You that want to eat and drink and slugger around and sleep and gossip and backbite, passions and all this other foolishness, you're losing your body. You're going to be a bodily spirit in that day and you're going to be tormented in hell. God did not make hell for mankind. There was no hell. Even for the devil, he was a ruler of the darkness. And God had not made a hell for Lucifer. He was merciful to him in spite of his wrong. But when the devil tripped man up, came into this, and took God's creation, it made him so angry until the Bible said hell was created in the time of his anger for the devil and his angels. But because so many people have let devils come into them, that makes them a devil, as Judas, one of you is a devil. As that thing of Peter, the momentary thing, there it said, Satan, get thee behind me. So he had to enlarge hell for all of them that would be put into hell. For hell hath enlarged itself without measure, and moved for to meet thee at thy coming. And the rich man descended into hell. But hell is not for the wicked. That's only a temporary captivity of punishment until the lake of fire comes. And then the grave will yield up its dead. Hell, which is a temporary hole, which is not eternal, shall yield up the dead. And hell and the dead shall be cast into the lake of fire. And of course, it'd take a long time to explain that. We can see that it's not the way a lot of times as to what we think when we begin to expound or begin to try to understand. Your body is eternal. It is called the purchased possession. It is the thing that Jesus died for. And it is your purchased possession. It is the thing that the dispute is over. It is the body. The devil wants the body. See, the Lord made the body for him. If Satan and the devils live in your body, you'll die, because the judgment is upon them. If the Lord, as to the Spirit of God, lives in your body, then he is the Prince of Life and is an abundant, which means overflowing, filled up. It will be eternally and forever. And the body cannot die. Even scientists know that they cannot destroy the body. They know that. See, the Bible said, fear not him that's able to kill the body. After that, he can do no more. But rather fear him that is able to do that. And then after he hath done that, destroy the body in hell. Or he can destroy the spirit. Angels can't die. They have to be destroyed. But scientists have learned that no matter what form of matter that they come to or work with, as to mind over matter, making the changes or whatever, in the satanic mind that shows himself to be God, as to their intellectual, melting down as to change from solids to gases and whatever as to formation. See, they have learned that they cannot destroy any form of matter. They can change the form of it. They can melt it down. They can burn it. They can do whatever. But it will go back to its original carbons or to its originality. As to the original elements, it'll go right back to that. And when it goes back to the original elements, it's the same as it was before God brought it together as to mind over matter, which is the true mind over matter. Even Christ's mind in you, which is God's mind that this emanated from. And what God is trying to do is put this mind in you as a baby growing into this to reveal Christ to the world through you as the revelation of Jesus Christ, to change your image, that you, through this mind, might speak to the form of matter just confidently by believing that. As to a withered hand, to say to the withered hand, be thou restored. And the mind of God over matter automatically takes control as the spiritual power and all of the molecules rearrange or collect wherever they've drifted to and come back and form this thing. Or whatever it might be as to the dead body that's decomposed, as to say, come forth, Lazarus. And the mind that this emanated from, or the mind said, let there be, and there was, the same mind is using your vocal sound, as your organs and the spirit is going forth, as word and spirit saying, and whatever you say, don't doubt. Come to where your mind can hold that composure. Don't doubt, it'll be done unto you. Folks, I tell you again, in the name of the Lord, for your sake, that God does not withhold from the righteous. He gives them the desires of their heart. Deferred hope sickeneth the heart. God does not defer. God does not give to you today. As when you say, oh Lord, I pray, I believe. God does not give you derision. And God does not tempt you. Lucifer is the tempter. God tempts no man. God is your friend. God is your helper. God doesn't make you sick. God doesn't kill you out. God doesn't oppress you. God doesn't make you poor. God doesn't give you all these derisions of life. See, as it was with Daniel, is just a quick illustration here. And Daniel prayed, and there was 21 days before he got his answer. 21 days. Why was that? Somebody would say, well, God, show us slow. A man asked for something today, and 21 days later, he gives it to him. Why didn't he hear me the first day? When the angel came down, he said, Daniel, O thou beloved man of God, we heard you the first day that you prayed. And when we started with the answer, we run into a barrage, as to say, and Satan and those in the second heaven, as you would say, coming from the third heaven, breaking through to get to the earth, as to the first heaven, coming down, Daniel, we were apprehended to the extent of war and the battle in the heavens, because the prince of Persia, as to say the devil, had appointed one great power of dignitary as to a fallen angel over Persia, here working through the carnal mind, because he's the prince of the worlds and he's got his kings everywhere. And God's going to overthrow all of them to the sons of God, set up his sons of God throughout the earth, over 10 cities and 5 cities and whatever. And they're going to be the one that runs it, and the kingdoms of this world is going to become the kingdom of God and his Christ. They'll reign forever and ever. Anyway, as to the membership of his government, of his body, his cabinet. So then we know that God did not defer anything. When you pray, Believe the word. Because the very first day you pray, God hears you. For the Bible said the ears of God are ever attentive toward the cry of the righteous. And that he withholds no good thing from them that walk upright before him. Through Christ giving you the best, he gives you everything as to less as to what that could be. He withholds nothing from you. Why is it that the upright in heart gets all these things? Because he believes. If you're not upright in heart, he couldn't get to you. Other than to rain the grace down as to rain on the just and the unjust to preserve the body till he can get the heart right. Showing himself strong, going to and fro on the earth, looking for an upright in heart. To showing himself strong in their behalf, that is to give them the desires of their heart. By faith, without faith, it's impossible to please him because God can't get to you. God can't get to his creature. God can't help his creature without faith because it takes faith to translate the spirit, transform the mind, transfigure the body to bring it back to its originality. And we don't have time to listen. Paul preached all night. We don't have time to get nothing from God. We're so busy. We're little tiny babies. We need to grow up. Some of us especially, like being here for years, we need to grow up. That's why preachers scream and holler. Because they can't get them to understand. They eat all day long. They ride all day long. They wear themselves out all day long. They lust all day long. They work all day long. They pile up money all day long. They talk over into the night, watch television, read books, all these kinds of things. And they don't have no time to think on God. And the Bible said, meditate in his laws day and night. Day and night. Day and night. Have you ever stayed on your knees all night long? That's good. But did you do it another night and 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 another night, another night, another night? Have you ever done it like that? See, that would be good too. Because this is what we need to do. All right, now, in closing, I want you to think of what I'm trying to tell you. Because the translation of the church is close at hand. The rapture is close at hand, much more than you'd ever know. And God is making his last plea. To try to tell you, as he did the Jews, because thou didst not know the day of the time of God coming to you to expound to you the day of your visitation, your temple is going to be left desolate. He said, your houses are left unto you desolate until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. It's going to be a prostitutional world. It's going to be a robber and a killer and a thief world. It's going to be gross darkness as to intellectual ignorance in the world. Two, there won't be any healing medicines. And you'll gnaw your tongue for pain and beg for death, and death will be taken away from you. It's getting close to the time. And your houses as to this house, Peter said, being dissolved. As to this body, it will not have the spirit of life as to God. The Holy Spirit, it will never have it. It's desolate, it's barren, the abomination of desolation, and that's it. And it's close at hand. As to the fulfillment of the days of the Gentiles. So, I said that to you. I wish we had time to preach to you. But saying these few little scattered remarks of trying to help you to understand where we're at, what we're doing, how great and mighty you are with the mind of Christ as to the Spirit of God, and how frivolous and a nothing and a nobody you are without these things. To give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. For if the angels are brought into the judgments of God for every transgression, how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? So then, take heed how that you hear, that you don't frustrate and confuse. Don't be anxious to go out of his presence. Don't ever, when you get out of this church, don't leave his presence. Keep thinking on these words. Keep thinking on him. Keep searching. Keep meditating. Get your mind off of land. Get your mind off of homes. Get your mind off of what you got, whether it's animals as to cattle, or whether it's sheep, or whether it is cars or houses, or whether it is money in the bank, or whether it is making money or businesses or your face or your frolics or whatever it might be. Get your mind off of that, because that's death. That's death. That's the veil of death. The day that you eat thereof, ye die. To be carnally minded is death. That's Lucifer, that's Satan. I don't care if it is your job, you can't think on it. If it's your business, you can't think on it. If it's your face, you can't think on it. If it's your body, you can't think on it. If it's your house and land, you can't think on it. You've got to think on God every day, every minute, 24 hours a day, bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, because Satan, if he's got one thought, it's like a seed that will grow, and a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. It's like a rat that's made a hole to get in. All right, you know you can do whatever you want to. I'm just here to tell you these things. I said, well, don't scream at me, Will. He said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Anyway, this is the way it is. You can do whatever you want to, but I prefer to do this, forgetting those things that are behind. I am pressing forward to the prize of the mark of that high calling, which is equality with my master. To be that bride, to be an equality with him, to sit in the throne with him, to overcome, to eat of that hidden manna which I'm eating of every day, as to the invisible, wonderful, wonderful things that's hid from the world, not given to them to know. So in this, as to the children's bread, every day, I want to perfect that mind more, perfect that mind more, perfect that mind more. And every time I perfect it a little more, I want to, as to that measure that's given to me, I want to release it into the body and make the body conform to it, make the body conform to it, so that the fullness of his wonderful, wonderful spirit of life, as to this wonderful word of knowledge and spirit, shall have a place to rule and to reign in my heart, that it be not me living but Christ, because this is the heavenly treasure that Paul found in the earthen vessels of which we contain. I hope you got a whole trunk full. All right, so then the bride has her treasure chest in that she has her hope chest, and that hope as to us as Christ, as to the measure of whatever those treasures are, as to his mind of thought that we put in there as toward her wedding, to be thoroughly furnished in the day when the bride sees the bridegroom coming. Let's everybody stand together. Took quite a long while tonight, not intentionally, but talking to you a little beforehand and then trying to get in a little sermonette. We took a good bit of time. Hope you forgive me as to whatever I might have done as to tax your patience, but no apologies for the word. And in that, all the time in life is God's. You know, it's like I told my wife today, we're living in the hurry, hurry world. And Satan is the hurry, hurry, hypo one that's in the world today. And all the confusion of today is for one reason. That's to take you into captivity, to fuddle up your mind, to keep you from having a coordinated way of life, as to slow and carefully think and to well plan your life. And so he puts you on the computer. If you don't get here, 10 days grace, you lose out. Your name's gone. I don't care if you've been a good person for 25 years. You just violate my 1, 2, 3. And it's to the old numerical, and I'll ground you. You understand what I'm saying? But folks, let me tell you, there's a reckoning day coming. There is a reckoning day. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Hurry. The medicine man said, be here at certain time. I don't see you. He could roll them over a little bit and make way for you. No problem. Down through the years, they didn't have to hurry. You're still on the farm, they didn't have to hurry. Even if they paid their debts once a year, they were considered a man. If they couldn't pay them, explain. He went with them to the next year at the old general store. See, man was not made to be a time creature as to come under the control of a numerical order to put pressure on him to wreck his nerves and to make him as to a consistency to be enslaved by Satan. All that causes confusion. The whole world's in a state of confusion because of that. Slow down, somebody said, and live. We've got to come to a place to get away from that crazy system. We've got to come to a place. We're living forever. They have to hurry because they've only got a few days to make their fortunes and frolic. The devils have. And then the body goes back to the worms and they go into the dry places. They know that. But folks, we're eternal. We don't have to be in a hurry. We got forever to do what we're going to do. God has allowed that pressure also to come to systemize some of us, because we're so slothful that we don't have any consideration toward others or their feeling or whatever to conform to anything that would be systematic. And God was just simply trying to bring a system as to allowance. But the devil again taking occasion. He killed the effects of it as to for God's good and changed it into his little frolic. Like he does everything. But you know, it's going to be something one of these days. You go to the hospital, they give you an aspirin. It costs you $15. Of course, that was for the service, not for the aspirin. All the other things of life that you get a hold of, whatever it might be, you know, whether it's the electricity or whatever, it's not for the electrical, but it's for the service. For in the first place, it's going to be a sad, sad day. All these people indict you, intimidate you, charge you with all of these problems, cut you off from that which was given to you in God. Satan standing between you with his old intellectual mind to gullibly swallow up in the government or wherever. But it's going to be a sad time when they stand in the courts of God in the great day to come as to the supremacy of God and into those divine places. When God says, you treated my people like that, and you've robbed my people, and you've took from my people, you that have given yourselves to Satan. Now then I got a charge against you. You have, by fraud, without my permission, used my elements, whether it comes from the ground as to make an aspirin, or whether it comes from whatever that was mine, you had no right to it. You stole it. You are a thief and a robber. And the electrical was mine. It came from my heavens. And you had no right to it. And you harnessed it and you run it through your little system. Now, I've got a charge against you. And the bill is so great that you're not going to be able to pay it. You thief and you robber, depart from me that work iniquity. Ye that eat my people like worms and like a piece of bread. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into everlasting damnation. It's coming, folks. It's coming. It's close at hand. So let us be patient. Let's enjoy the wonderful things of God. Let's love the Lord. Let's do what we're supposed to do. It won't be long. The squatters will be gone. All of this has been redeemed back to us. It belongs to us. We'll have the privilege of having this as to come to the water to drink without cost, as to whosoever will. All these things will be back to our way of life, even the body that Satan is robbing us of, as with the diseases and problems, oppression. Remember, once again, the dispute is over the body, and the body cannot be destroyed except by God. It wasn't made to be destroyed. He swore by himself, because he could swear by no other, I will not destroy it. I will not destroy the life. Ye are mine forever, eternally forever. And if this mind of Christ can get in you, you'll find this mind of Christ in you, and this mind of Christ will look at your afflictions from within. It'll look at the pressures from within. It'll look at the problems and poverty from within. And it will say to you, it wasn't so in the originality. It wasn't so from the beginning. I am the one that made it. Can you believe in me? I am the Word to be made flesh. And as I, this mind, as to this thought, as to this foreknowledge, and you, as to your rights, as to what you are when I made you and what you own. Now, if you can let this come forth, as to the life, mind of Christ been made manifest in your mortal genes, this mind over matter that this emanated from, that spoken into existence, will automatically bring it back to its originality, get the infiltration out, cause your body to come back to its originality, at its greatness and power, and any capacity of life, as to your spirit, it will translate it into my spirit. As to your mind, it will transformate it down through the years as to a continual thing to bring it to an ultimatum. And as to the body, it will change it as to that wonderful transfiguration as it penetrates the life being made manifest, the infiltration going out. And with this great light that comes out of that circumference of that bulb, it will radiate all over the earth as to you being the light of the world, and all of the briars and the curse will leave, and everything will be gone as to the great finale of what we're doing. and your beautiful home as to paradise will be back again. And that mind of Christ will have replaced, as from the tree of life as to the words of spirit and life, as to Jesus that tree of life, as to life sap in this green tree, as we said the other night, it will have replaced as to good and evil, as to having been in heaven to reflect that and coming down to learn of the darkness, as to the intellectual ignorance, as to contrariness to God and corruption. Well, it's up to you. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing "I Love Him, Brother Taylor." I love Him. I love Him. All because and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing that with me now. I love Him. I love Him, all because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine for every promise in the book. It is mine. Every promise in the book is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For we've anchored the soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep about over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm alive forevermore. Once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee. The altars are open. Every hour I need Thee. I need Thee.
reign our precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee.
Can you sing it with me?
So don't. So don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let Jesus in to stay. How you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to Jesus. Let us hear his loving voice. Don't turn him away. I found a new place.
Sing that with me.
Up in God's heavenlies, a place of peace, a place of rest. I found a new place in God's heavenlies, in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Come in to my heart, Lord. Come in to my heart.
How would you like to have Jesus come into your heart? The body wasn't made to die. Death is God's enemy, and he hath destroyed him that hath power over death. The spirit of abundant life has come into your heart to redeem your body. It is the purchased possession. As in the Old Testament, the priest has come in to inspect, to see if the plagues that's been reported to him, that's in the walls, as to the body, within my body, there's no good thing, to check it out, to see that this wonderful heavenly, as we say symbolically speaking, chemical, can eradicate, and that it's not terminal, that it's not terminal. To eradicate, he just asks you to move out for a little while. He's checking it out. And after a while, he's going to tell you to move back in once he kills the plague, washes it out. And then he'll move you back in. He'll give you a little house forever. If this house be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. So then he's checking it out right now, just letting you take a little rest. Folks, we're not going to die. Christians don't die because Christians don't sin. You can't die because you can't sin, because the sting of death is sin. And sin is the transgression of the law, and there is no law. He folded up and laid away. Everything is pertaining to the law. Fulfilled every jot and tittle. So then life is in you, and you are a creature of life. You are the temple of life, for God is life, and you are his temples. Satan sits in the temple of mankind to show himself that he's God, as to that mind. But when you like to have the mind of Christ, this wonderful mind is the treasure of God. God is the Spirit. Sent forth. He sent himself forth, or brought himself forth. As to say, the spirit of word in life, as to mind, as to spirit in life, dwelling within you, that life revealing itself to you, as to whatever measure you would like to have life, it can be filled up and abundantly overflowing. But if you will not allow much of that mind to be in you, as to possess you, and that body to surrender to it, to conform to it, then that means you don't have as much life as another. A man with $1,000 has a life. A man with $1,000,000 has more life. And a man with $1,000,000,000 has more life.
as to the kings, as to the priests, as to them that rule over 10 cities, as to them that shall rule as kings and priests, whatever it is, as to the submission, as to the full reward. And the full reward is to be equal with the master. I want to go on with him. It's no wonder Paul said, I forget those things behind. I press forward to the mark. You know this little thing about saying repent, come to the Lord and God bless you, go play pool, go play ball, go back to your old gullible desires, your old way of life. You know, you got God now. Happy are ye. Just be a good charismatic and all will be well and the Pope will bless you. Folks, you need to get out of that, I'm telling you. The love of the world's in you, the love of the Father isn't there. Give your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But if you don't want to do it, you know, that's up to you. Whatever you do, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that the Spirit may inwardly exalt you in due season. For he that exalteth himself, as to the intellectual learning, as to the tree of knowledge, as to his self-esteem, as to what he is, or what he has been, or what he's going to be, even a religious act. He that doeth that, as to lift himself up, is already cut off from God and cast down. He hath no lot in this matter. He hath no part in this matter. His heart is not right with God. He's in the galls of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity. And he needs to pray that God would forgive him the very thoughts and intents of his heart. All right, that scared him. He put it down. He left it. And Lucifer left. But I'm telling you, folks, you better stay away from it. Quit battling with me. Quit fighting against me. Quit resenting me. Quit thinking that there's another way that you're going to get to it. You're trying to get around me. Some of you here, you try to get around me. You try to go another way. You try to get to somebody else. You even try to get to David Paul. You're trying to climb up another way. You're a thief and a robber. You don't want to come through the door. You don't want to come through the right thing. You can't get to God through paperwork. You can't get to God through these things that are ritualistic. David Paul is not following paperwork. He's following Christ. And he and I are walking with Christ as a Father Son. And everyone that truthfully follows the message will be part of that, as to that membership. The other are just intellectual failures. That's all. It's like he told you the other night when we was down here trying to exhort you. He said, brethren, listen to this. Don't leave this to go after the paperwork and these other things. Give priority, he said, because that's why all of them fall on their face and have done it in the past. He said, we ain't going to do that. We're not going to do that. See, God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that spirit is wanting that body. And if you give it to the intellectual side, I don't care what you give it to, religiously or otherwise, you're gone. You're gone. This is one thing I appreciate about my Susie. Susie's been out of balance for a long time. It had to be that way as to the things that she was to do. Susie's a woman just like anybody else, flesh just like anybody else, has her problems. But you can't imagine. You don't have any idea. You women that think you know something, and you men that think you know something, you don't have any idea what she knows. She was with us hours in the coach when she was driving. I guess it must have been 3 hours that she communicated with me the other night of things that I would love for you to know and expound to you. And she's just a woman. See, she's just a woman. But see, and she's going to do her part as to the computers. She helps us with them. And it has to be done. There has to be a natural ark built. There has to be this paperwork of David Paul. You can't imagine what David Paul knows. See, as to this, as my family having to do with the head of Little Bethlehem, as the head of the nations, and I told you they would come in, they would do this, and they'll relate to God. And you can't do nothing else but work with them. And like I told my family that come in, I said, David Paul is set in a strategic place. I said, and whether you want to work with him as a brother or not, you're going to have to. I said, there ain't nothing you can do about it. See, there comes a time, brethren, when Joseph reveals himself. And as it was said down there when Joseph had his dream. When Joseph had his dream, and the stars did obeisance to him. I remember the vision we had where all the stars on the other side of heaven and all across heaven. We were standing over here, and all of them came from wherever they were over to where we were at. You don't understand that, maybe. I do understand it. I thank God for it. And maybe you understand it. If you do, God gave it to you. But nobody can receive anything save it be given him of God. You know, your problem is every time I say something, you come back at me vainly puffed up by your flesh and mind, Brother Pine. You think we know, or you know, and we don't know. I don't think anything like that at all. That's your contamination of mind, of the devil doing that to your mind, because you're half in and half out. And I understand my little babes being like that.
That's the reflection. But sticking out your tongue at me won't do any good.
If you're my children, you'll hear my voice and you'll follow me. And where I am, there you'll be. And whatever I'm engaged in, that you will do. And wherever I am, Jesus said, let my disciples be there beholding my glory, Father. Even as they beheld my shame, enduring the cross as to the shame, despising it, but for the joys that were set before him. So, I feel the carnal side of some of you, even at what I've already said. Especially on my man's side. On the man's side, I can feel it. I'm glad to say that it's not that way on the woman's side, even though I feel some ripples in the water. But I'm just saying this to let you know, there is a system, there is a way of life, there's a thing with God, and you're going to go that way. And if you don't go that way, you ain't part of it. You're not part of it at all. There's numbers of minds over here that struck that wasn't a while ago, but because I said these things and brought my family into it, it stuck like a thorn. But it's that way. They say, tell it like it is. It's that way. All right. If you knew 1/3 of what Susie knows, your greatest scholars out there, you'd be shocked. Just 1/3 of it. And that's wonderful that a woman can do that, because you know the woman's nobody. Don't you remember us men? How that we've led them all these years and told them all these years that they was the nobody. We have to remember that, you know. Them women, that's nobody. But nevertheless, the women are getting the job done here. And them women are sacrificing. And different ones is coming in more and more and more. You know why they're doing that? Because it's the day of the redemption of the body. You know what it is with the man? It's the day of the cutting off. You know why? Because it's a typical thing going on. It'd be a good time for you to enjoy your wife and have a little communication with her. And realize that she's not a garbage can. And that you're not Prince Charming. That Christ is Prince Charming. And his bride is what he's looking for. And it's the little girl with the dishpan hand. And if she is a halfway wife to you as to being decent and trying to do right, you need to give a little consideration. Because all you brilliant boys is going to fall. All them out there in the world's falling already. They dazzle as religious leaders or whatever. But the Bible said the end time they would fall. And you're going to fall. And that little old garbage can of yours, as you think, that's got the dishpan hand, is going to come up over you, because with God there's no respect to person. Whether it be male or female, there's nothing like that in God. In the garden, the woman was equal to the man. And because she sinned as to show the weakness of the church, she had to come under the constraint of man, and she has to honor man. But when she comes back into God and she receives her rightful place in God as to the Spirit of God within her, her head, she is then in equality with the man. And when she comes back into that, she is back into the garden, to her rights. She is back into her husband as to the originality. And in coming into that, there's neither male nor female in that world. I know it's a woman's world, and I know there are wicked devils. There's women that's wicked devils, just like this thing that happened here that's causing us problems here. As to a woman, the devil deceived the woman. But you've got to remember that wicked devil of that woman is every one of you, including me, if we allow that mind of resentment and fault-finding and division and reasoning and all these things that a lot of men allow to come in. That's that old woman with her old fables. All wise fables. So we need to wake up and realize the woman is our body, and we're to redeem the body and love the woman as Christ loved the church, and reach out and get the woman. And the woman should submit as to Christ, not as unto a husband, but doing all things as unto God. If the man has Christ on the inside. If he doesn't have Christ on the inside, then just dwell with him. If he be pleased to dwell with you, don't beat you and kick you around. Don't misuse you.
dwell with him. God will sanctify him as to this life, but won't take him to heaven, because at death that sensitizes no sanctification, because it's from you as to the illumination and not the indwelling. All right, I feel like it has subsided a little bit, but it went far enough to mess up things when it was so sweet. You know why? Because you're not what you think you are, and you're not in the place where you think you are. Not at all. Some of you are vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind. So are some of you women. And you're not at all what you think you are. But I'm going to tell you, you are an intellectual reflector. An intellectual reflector. And listening to all these things, you're just like the Jews was. You've never been born again. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have the Holy Ghost. There's very few of you that have the Holy Ghost. Very few. Jesus said, few there be that find it. Said it is a little flock. Said it is a straight and a narrow way. And that's why so many people are fallen. They don't have the Holy Ghost. They are believers. They are illuminated. They've been very religious. They've learned lots of things. But they've never been one with the shepherd. They've never been sweet in spirit. They've never submitted their souls. They've never submitted their ways as he that watcheth over their soul and must present them unto God. And seeking to do that, Paul said, without spot, without wrinkle or blemish. I won't present all of you people to God, because all of you people are not my people. But I'll present my people, and I'll stand with my people in the last day. But all that came out of Egypt, they were not of Israel. They looked back into Egypt. And they turned back into Egypt in their hearts. Numbers of you men and women with whom I'm talking, the ones that are looking at me. Numbers of you, whether it be by the television screen or whether it be hearing me by radio, any part of the world, or whether it be as to the expression from the books that also go all over the world, or whether it be right here as to the immediate congregation, it is the same. It is the same as to these things that I'm saying. Very few of you throughout the entire world has the Holy Ghost. You don't know what it means to have the Holy Ghost. People talk about the Holy Ghost as through all these denominational things, this charismaticism. Somebody said, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that that isn't the Holy Ghost? I sure don't. Because that is the Holy Ghost out there. That is the Holy Ghost in them churches. That is the Holy Ghost throughout the world and these things that's happening. That is the Holy Ghost. But you don't have him. It's the rain on the just and on the unjust, and you don't have him. You only have his benefits while the blood is on the seat of atonement. But folks, you can think of it like I've said before. Out of all the women of the world, I married one. And when Jesus goes to look for his bride, you can narrow it down and tell just how close it's going to be. Out of all the women of the world, I got one wife. All right, so it's going to be narrow. It's going to be close. Few there be that find it. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. While you've got these benefits, don't turn this grace into lasciviousness. Don't keep that old mind manipulating and let the little foxes spoil your vine. Don't keep on with self-esteem. Don't keep on resenting the preacher. Don't keep on resenting everything he instructs you with as to tell you the way to go and what to do and to find fault. You say, do you hope to change this, Brother Pike? I certainly do not. The Bible said you cannot make straight that which God has made crooked. By foreknowledge as to his ordination. You can't do that. If the leopard can change his spots, if the Ethiopian can change his skin, then they that are accustomed to do evil shall do good. And friend, let me tell you, the righteous can never do wickedly. The righteous can never do evil. There'll never be a day that they ever sin, not one time. The evil one will never touch them in their whole life. The church, the bride, is without spot. She's without blemish. She keepeth herself. She is a virtuous lady. To the elect lady is something that you cannot find in the world anymore. You just find a sinful, adulterous generation. But she's the elect lady. All right, gentlemen, ladies, brothers and sisters. Because we got gentlemen and ladies here, we got brothers and sisters. Because some are some fine people. And they're looking and searching. And we got some that's brothers and sisters. We got brothers and sisters that are false brothers and sisters. Paul said, I was in peril of false brothers and sisters. I got some standing here like the man I spoke of a while ago, but rebuking the spirit because I have power over all the spirits. See, it's a thorn in my flesh, but I have to put up with it. I have to put up with it, and some of you are the same way. I got them that's living on the campground that I know that's messing with the ball games, pool tables, all kind of things. I know that. And people that's messing with these little old movies around the house and all these kind of things, I ask them not to do. Preaching now and all these other things, I have to do this to sinners, to them that won't listen, the rebellious, the contrary ones, as to the sin of witchcraft, as to the sin of idolatry, the stubbornness and rebellion. As the set of the seed of the scornful, stand in the way of sinners. So you could never have the mind of Christ. There is no possible way. There's another man standing here tonight. He does not resent me. He does not find fault with me. He does not lift himself up. He is trying his best to be straight and follow and trying his best to get this thing. It means everything to him to get it. But he has in the past been one of the biggest thorns in my flesh that I ever had. Self-esteem. He has been contrary. He has stood in my way every time I said something. He took it to himself like this other fellow had been doing. And thought himself to be something when he was nothing. But I saw him in a vision change, and he changed. He changed. And it's beautiful as to his outlook, his feelings, his desires of trying to really be like Christ and do something for God. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get like that, you're going to be lost. Let's sing another little chorus together, can you? I didn't do that to magnify the individual. You don't know who he is unless the Lord reveals him to you anyway. And unless you put some things together. And I didn't say that of my Susie. To exalt Susie is to flatter Susie, to dig a pit for her to fall. Susie has got to shape up. She's got to come in. She's got a lot of conforming. She's got a lot of things to do. But I'm just telling you, folks, that these children have been exposed to the great, mighty things of God. And she is one of them that has been exposed to so much that I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. You'd be shocked. Things that you've never been exposed to. But that don't mean nothing. It depends on what Susie does with it or the way she goes. So far, she's gone the right way. Even though she's been slow about developing, she married into a family that did not understand. And they're just now coming around. And God did that to bring to pass some things that I spoke even to her about. I believe it was us today. Even the trip of Howard and Rob going out to the Gateway of the West, you can't imagine what it has to do with and the fulfilling of some things that we said. A lot of you pay very little attention to what I say anyway as to placing any emphasis upon it. But when I say and thus will happen and this will happen, it's still alive and whatever, I'm not just saying that as to bring out what's going to happen to somebody's life, even though God is concerned. And I do help them if they try to ask me if the Lord will allow me to. If he hides it from me, I can't help them. But if he doesn't, then I'll help them. Because the Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. Jesus said, all that my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you. As to the mind of Christ within you. See, but when I say those things, they have spiritual values. And you don't properly evaluate. And you don't give priority to the right things. And because of that, the blind lead the blind. They all fall into the ditch. All right. Somebody said, well, you've kept us too long. I don't think we've even got started good. We should be just about ready to preach to now. Have to stay in here. You know, we get so tired in the flesh. We've got to go, man, let me out of here. Let me out of here. That devil says, let me out of here. Let me out of here. That flesh, I'm nervous. I got the heartburn. I can't do this. I can't do that. I got to go to work. That old devil of the carnal mind that's in the image of God right now is just now time to get started. When the Spirit of God comes down, the minds is open up, say, my God, let the world cave in. I'm staying here night and day. If I have to, like Moses did for 80 long days till I get this, 3 years and a half or somewhere around there that Paul stayed till he got it. Stayed right there. All right, but anyway, you don't understand that. I'm sure you don't understand it. Unless some of them maybe do. God bless you that do. Nobody can receive it save it be given him of God. And I'm not scolding you, not mocking you. I'm just telling you. that God, every once in a while, lets one of these things rise up to get me to preach a little bit and get me to say a few things so that you don't go off blinded thinking that you've got all this and that you're in this and that this belongs to you and that you're right, because I tell you in the name of the Lord, you're not. Some of you are, some of you just babies. Some of you greatest scholars is just getting started, but you are getting started. And if you'd give yourself to this thing, it would be wonderful. But that's up to you as to a full reward. Let's sing another chorus. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. Can you sing that with me? Oh, fill my cup, Lord, for I lift it up, my Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Sing that with me. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. Can you sing one more time? Just fill my cup, Lord. David said, my cup runneth over. Abundant life, filled up and overflowing.
Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. Just one more time. Fill my cup, Lord, for I lift it up, my Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. When I stand upon the mountain, looking o'er into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. For after all, life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and to stand upon the mountain also looking over into the city, my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. Far after all, life is over. That I can make it after all. Across the bridge where there's no more sorrow. Sing that way. Across the bridge
for there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. Or in this life we're living in, thy hell will the life of sin, and I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior on the way, I asked him for a place to stay. There's true happiness, and there is love that's true. He said across the bridge won't be no more sorrow. Said across the bridge there'll be no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. Can you sing it one more time?
Across the river,
there'll be no sorrow. Sent across the bridge, there'll be no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and shall be no more. One more time. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
Can you lift your hands up with me? Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith, and faith by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For in the latter days many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. Let's not be like them, to be blown about with every wind of doctrine, but let's give the Lord all of our heart, bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down imagination, loving him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. I tell you the truth, I love you. Try to climb up another way, that is a thief and a robber. The thief comes but to steal and kill, to destroy, to take your blessings. Why does he steal and kill and destroy? Because he's without anything. He's out in the dry places. He's trying to steal your peace and steal your happiness and steal your love, steal your affection, steal all of the opportunities to steal your human senses to himself by making you his slave, by enslaving you with his personality, to project through you his personality, to put your spirit in a bondage that a parasite will use up your life, and you'll never know the difference, even as Peter, when he didn't know that it was Satan taking advantage. Let this mind be in you, precious brother, sister. Listen to the Lord. Listen to his voice. My sheep know my voice. A stranger they will not follow. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners. Let us give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain. Can you lift your hands and close your eyes? And I will praise him. My will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Bless Brother Bob from California to come and dismiss us tonight. And while Bob is coming, let's worship the Lord for just a few minutes. To enter into his gates with thanksgiving. The only way that you can get into his gates, in that he is a spirit, is to start praising God, and then your mind will transformate into his presence. Your spirit will translate into his spirit. Your body will transfigure into his lovely state of being. Can you praise him? My heart will live.